And Dale Romans, as I mentioned, is going to be with us here momentarily. He has made his way over from the barn area and is with us in person this morning. One of our favorite guests. And usually he's the one who opens these programs for us, but he had to work a little bit this morning, so he couldn't come on at 8 to do that. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Yeah, I only hijacked it one time. Another time might happen sooner or later.
How you doing?
Good. Good. Things are good. Yeah, we were over here watching some horses breeze, so just decided to come by in person.
Nice. Ready to roll?
Glad to have
you. Sure. Everything's going well.
As we were coming out of our commercial break just a moment ago, Larry Colmus had the call of the Traverse Stakes, one of the great moments, one of the great races of last year. How many times have you gone back and watched that replay?
You know, I've only watched it a couple of times, but it's ingrained. It was ingrained from the first day, that the first time it happened. So it was interesting. I always watch my races live. I figured, my father told me a long time ago, you only see them live once. You can watch a replay as many times as you want. But with that one, you couldn't even get through the crowd. It was one of the most electrifying days I was ever involved in.
Yeah.
The walk over from the barn was crazy. I mean, they were 10 deep. You know, they're all there for Farrell, but we joined in the fun, act like they were there for us. Oh, yeah. So we watched it in the racing office on TV because he couldn't get through the crowd. And I snatched Tammy up and took off running towards the winner's circle and went about 100 yards before I realized I was too out of shape to be carrying a person and running 100 yards. So I almost didn't get to enjoy the whole thing.
A little pumped up, huh? Yeah. I bet you that. How was the crowd afterwards to you? And were people like happy for you, or were they like upset that you beat Farrell?
Well, it was surprising. You know, before the race, Chris Kay at NYRA was, you know, limited the crowd to 50,000. I think it was. I had made the comment, I wanted to thank Chris Kay, but there's only 50,000 that could boo me. in a joke earlier in a press conference. But after the race, I walked back with the horse. I forgot to go to the trophy presentation or the press conference. So I walked with the horse, and everybody cheered him. And it was a refreshing surprise. Because,
wow.
Yeah, I thought they would be booing him and beat America's horse. But they respected his performance.
Yeah,
it was surprising. That's sportsman for you, though.
Yeah, I think the fans at Saratoga are pretty savvy. A lot of them go every year. I mean, they're not just people that decide on Wednesday, oh, let's go to the races. You know, they're there to go to the races. I mean, that's what Saratoga is all about. So I think they are savvy, and they appreciate. Of course, they've seen a lot of champions get beat before, too, at Saratoga.
It was funny. The a couple of Saratoga residents came up that night and thanked me. They said, we love our reputation as a graveyard of champions. And so I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think about the only horse to defeat American Pharoah in that Horse of the Year campaign, that Triple Crown campaign, how important is that? What does that mean when you talk about this horse maybe even moving forward and beyond his racing career?
Well, it shows what he can do. I mean, definitely. And he was just getting better and better. And, you know, I'm a big fan of American Pharoah. We're never going to say that we were a better horse than him, but that day we were. And won. And I said, it's, you know, once a big race is my career, but that's probably the biggest because it's going to be the most historic. Every other race, somebody will win next year, but it's been 40 years since somebody beat a Triple Crown winner at Saratoga.
You know, the thing I loved about Keen Ice and his campaign last year, Dale, we sat here and we watched him in the Holy Bull, and he finished fifth, his only start here at Gulfstream Park. You never lost faith in him. You kept him at those high levels. He ran in, what, six consecutive grade ones to round out last year's campaign. You never lost faith in this horse.
No, he always showed us enough to say we needed to just keep trying and keep trying. And I never felt like he put all his talent into a race until the Haskell, really. The Derby was a lot better race than people give him credit for. But even like the Belmont when he was third, he hadn't put it all together there. He fell back out of it around the turn and then kind of lost focus and then comes running again and gets up for third. So we just stayed with him and stayed with him, and finally he did some great things. And he made a lot of money along the way. It was, you know, everywhere he went, they jacked the purse up for Farrell. So running second, third to him wasn't bad. We owe him a lot of gratitude.
Yeah, I remember. At Saratoga, the first day I was there for the meet last year, and I happened to bump into you. You were having lunch down the street from where I was staying, and you said that was like the biggest check you'd ever cashed was in the Haskell because the purse was so huge.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest. It was the biggest second place purse for, you know, well, I don't know, maybe not Breeders' Cup Classic, but it felt like it. And that horse, you know, he just made a lot of money along the way. He's only won two races, and he's made $1.8 million. And and he's poised to have a huge year this year.
All right, so look ahead to the Don this afternoon. Take us back through the last couple of months with this horse. What have they been like for him?
You know, we never did stop training on him after the Breeders' Cup because I'd say he's like me. If he lays on the couch for a week, he'll get out of shape. He's such a big, you know, he's a great big old horse and not just that natural athlete that's going to stay fit. So we just kept him in light training and kept him galloping. And the last run of Breezes has been different than last year. I mean, he started last year off where we knew he could do it, but he never really bellied down. And this year he's working, you know, in a minute with no problems, by himself, no company. And those are things we didn't see last year. We grabbed a bit, just take off, and really enjoying what he's doing.
So he's actually matured in that time off, even though he wasn't, you know, completely at rest. He's mentally come around to where he knows what he's supposed to be doing.
It started in the Haskell. I saw a turn of foot with him that I hadn't seen before, where he was a big freight train before. He was just kind of grinding. And in the Haskell, even though Farrell was gearing down, I thought that our horse really accelerated, finished strong, galloped out strong. And he put it together in the Travers. Breeders' Cup wasn't bad. A fourth in there with those horses on a kind of speed bias racetrack. And then the Clark at Churchill, I mean, another jump or two, and it was a brilliant ride and a great trip. And he just needed a couple more jumps. But then he came out of that race, and he's trained like a monster.
Yeah, speaking of brilliant rides, you look back to the Travers. Javier Castellano, the only time he ever rode him was in that Travers Stakes victory. He's back aboard here today. So you get the nation's leading rider and Gulfstream's leading rider. Not too bad.
And one of the best of the 21st century. I mean, he's a great kid and a great rider, and we're glad to have him.
Do you find that certain riders will fit certain horses better?
Yeah, sometimes. But usually I like to hook into a guy like Corey Lannery. He's been with us for 3 or 4 years now. And it's no knock to him to take him off. It's just the fact that Javier was available and he had already won on the horse. But some horses, especially the biggest races, you know, you get guys that just fit. And Javier's patient. He's won a lot of big races, and he's not having any problems sitting back there until it's time to go.
There's a lot of musical jockeys going on in that race. It seems like everybody's riding a different horse than they rode last time.
It was kind of weird going into it because there were some big-name jocks coming by asking what we were going to do that surprised me, and there's a whole shift. But every horse will have a rider.
That's right.
That's one thing we know for sure. Talking with trainer Dale Romans here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dale, I mentioned 5-2 favorite on the morning line. Those are the odds on Keen Ice. Outside of your horse, size up the competition for me. Pletcher comes with 3. Bill Mott has 1 in there. Chad Brown. Look at the competition.
Well, trainers-wise, it's a who's who, right?
Yeah.
You know, Todd's horse that had been running on the grass, Mashawish. He's pretty impressive on the dirt. He was 2-for-2 on the dirt. And I think he's tough, Valid's tough. I mean, he's a really good horse. It's just top to bottom, a bunch of good ones. Then there's a couple of them that like Mott's horse, that look like they're on the fringe of breaking through. It's a knockout. You know, they're on the fringe of breaking through into the Grade 1 races.
I read earlier this week in a Gulfstream press release that win or lose today, assuming Keen Ice runs a good race, it's on to Dubai from here.
Yeah, you know, barring any unforeseen things, we'll go on to Dubai and get ready for the World Cup. You know, it worked for Roses and Mago Don World Cup. We'll see if we can do it again.
Well, didn't Lee do that too last year?
Ran
a pretty good race.
He did.
It seems like a natural progression.
Yeah, and that mile and a quarter and Dubai with the long stretch, that should really be good for our horse.
Well, we talked about Keen Ice being a top 3-year-old last year, only horse to defeat American Pharoah. How about this year's 3-year-olds? Who can we look at in terms of the Romans contenders?
Well, the top two right now, of course, are Brody's Cause and Cherry Wine. They're both doing super, and Ma can do it. I mean, she's a filly, but she's going to start breezing today. Here in just a few minutes, have her first breeze of the year. And then Unbridled Outlaw. I mean, I haven't given up on him. He didn't perform as well in the Breeders' Cup as we expected. He came out with a little bit of an injury, got him started back after the first year. We'd be pressed for time, but if everything fell into place, you could see him in an allowance race and maybe something like the Arkansas Derby, you know, just to try to get there. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
All right, the heck with all those others. Let's talk a little bit more about Cherry Wine.
Yeah,
tell us
like
everything
Cherry Wine?
About Cherry Wine.
I love Cherry Wine. You know, Cherry Wine is a unique situation in our barn. I bought his Grand Dam after her first race, and then we took her to what's now my farm and bred her to Unbridled Song and got his mother. And then we took her and bred her to Patio Prado, which we trained and had in the barn and bought at the Keeneland sale and came up with Cherry Wine. And he's won his last two. The race here was super, ultra impressive. I thought everybody's talked about it. He was on the speed was playing that day, and he came from way back and just looped around and won by six. And he's a serious racehorse.
Yeah, he looked really, really good that day, and that kind of intrigued me. And, of course, being a Dale Romans fan, it was was easy to embrace Cherry Wine. But you're in trouble now because Mike and I drafted him first in the Churchill Downs Press Box Fantasy Contest, so there's a lot of pressure on
there. Yeah, we'd like to apologize.
Well, that was the text I sent you. There's a lot of pressure here, but you got a good horse.
What's next for him?
Probably Fountain of Youth. I mean, that's shaping up to be a super race, it looks like.
Yeah.
But we'll probably go there. I mean, you know how things shift around. I said we pick weekends and not races on the Derby Trail. But in a couple of weeks, he'll show up, most likely Fountain of Youth.
And how about Brody?
Brody's probably going to go Tampa Bay Derby, and he breezes tomorrow again. He's put some good works along. But I'm saying Tampa, Bluegrass, you know, into the Kentucky Derby.
Dale Romans here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, it's nice to be in that position where you have a couple of horses you can go to different races and keep them separated, and hopefully everything comes together on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation. I mean, I've had seven Derby starters, and I think most of them I didn't even know we were going to have until like February. And then to come in with a horse like Brody that always already has a pretty good amount of points and you can kind of sit and pick and choose what you want to do is kind of unusual for us.
Well, these young horses will surprise you, won't they?
Oh, they
even
will.
Even somebody as good as you are.
No, you know, you can usually know if they can't run. You don't know how far they can go as they can run. And one day you'll come in and they've just woke up and they're going the right direction. They just start getting better and better.
He's trainer Dale Romans. He's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He will saddle Keen Ice, the 5-2 morning line favorite, in today's Grade 1 Don. Don't forget all of our coverage kicking off 4 o'clock Eastern. The first of 9 consecutive Saturdays will be based right here at Gulfstream in Hallandale Beach. We're trying to follow in the footsteps of Dale Romans.
You guys are doing damn good. I mean, it's amazing how far you come in a short time, and it's great what you all do for horse racing.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. Your phone's ringing. I know you have work to do, so we won't keep you much longer, but appreciate it, and we'll get together, have a little dinner one night.
Any night
treat.
You're ready. Let me know.
You got it on. I just said my treat. It's on tape.
I heard you. We can go tonight. We got one of my favorite riders standing here. You know, Herb McCauley, one of the greats of all time.
This man trying to scoop me up and take me away.
But yeah, I had the nerve to call him before I ever got started. I said, come ride for me at Churchill Downs, please. I need a good rider. He said, who are you?
Thanks, guys.